The last five Sunday nights, we talked about the five purposes of the church: worship, fellowship, evangelism, discipleship. And then last Sunday night, we talked about ministry. All of those, if you missed, and I know with summer, sometimes people miss, they're on our website. You can go and listen to them. But tonight, I want to talk to you, if you'll take your message notes out, a little bit about prayer. Because unless all of these purposes are undergirded with prayer, then it's all in vain. And some of you are here tonight. You really need a breakthrough in your life. You need God to speak to you. You need God to reveal himself to you. You know, when God does something, many times it's unmanageable, uncontrollable. We have nothing to do with it. That's called a miracle. That's called a breakthrough. And we have different breakthroughs in different times in our life. And I just want to say that you're here tonight is not by accident. Because maybe you're seeking a breakthrough in your life. But you're here tonight because God wants to answer your prayer. God wants to work a miracle in your life. God wants a breakthrough in your life. And if you didn't need a breakthrough, trust me, you wouldn't be here tonight. But God wants to answer your prayers. Now, when you look at the life of Jesus, he chose 12 men to be his interns or his disciples or his followers. And they followed him. For 3.5 years, they followed him. They saw Jesus do all kinds of amazing things. They saw him heal people. They saw flat-out miracles. They saw Jesus calm the storms. They saw Jesus feed 5,000 with a little boy's lunch. They saw Jesus raise people back from the grave who had been dead. They saw all of this. They heard the great sermons that Jesus preached. But when the disciples went to Jesus, who is the man of miracles. I mean, he's an amazing man of miracles. Everywhere Jesus went, there were miracles. But when they went to Jesus, they didn't say, "Lord, teach us how to preach." They didn't say, "Lord, teach us how to heal." They didn't say, "Lord, teach us how to feed 5,000 people." They never said, "Teach us how to teach." Never in the Bible did they ask that. But these interns come to Jesus and they say to him, "Teach us how to pray." Now, of all the things they could have asked Jesus to teach them after watching him perform miracle after miracle, healing after healing for 3.5 years, they say, "Lord, teach us to pray." Because they realized that prayer was the secret power behind the healings. Prayer was the secret power behind the miracles. Prayer was the secret power that raised the dead back to life. And they said, "Lord, if you teach us how to pray like you pray, and obviously you're praying in a different manner than we do, then we're going to have the power of Jesus." Now, you may have heard me say before, much power, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer in your life, no power. They said, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And the truth is, if we're honest, if I'm honest, if you're honest, most of us are not nearly as confident about our prayer lives as we ought to be. In fact, for many of us, prayer is confusing. I have people tell me from time to time, "I just don't know how to pray." And sometimes we find it confusing and we're not real confident in it. We say, "I just don't know what to say. I don't know how to express myself. I don't know how to say it. I don't know what to pray." Some of you were honest. You'd say, "I don't even know, Lord, if this thing works. I'm filled with doubt. I'm filled with confusion and insecurities. I don't know how long I'm to keep praying. I just don't get it. Lord, I know I'm supposed to pray, but I don't get it. I don't enjoy it. I don't understand it." Well, what I want to do tonight for just a few minutes is I want to take the worry out of prayer for you. I want to take the worry out of prayer. And I hope when you leave this message, this service tonight, I want you to have the confidence to be able to say, I'm confident I know how and what to pray. Because you don't have that worry. You don't have that lack of confidence in your life when it comes to your prayer life. Look at Luke 11. The beginning of your notes, Jesus' followers said, Lord, teach us to pray. And then Jesus said, and here's where it starts. He begins by saying, our Father. Begin by saying, our Father who is in heaven. Now, we don't realize how shocking a statement that was. Because up till that time in history, nobody had ever called God Father. They'd called him a lot of other things, but Jesus said, I've come here to tell you that when you pray, you can call God Father. And Jesus was saying, if you understand this, if you wrap your brains about this, it will change the way you pray. And you will pray more confidently, and you're not going to worry, you're not going to be insecure about praying. What Jesus is saying is that prayer is not about words. Now listen to me. It doesn't matter what words you say. You don't have to be eloquent. Prayer is not about your words. Listen, it's not about your words. It's about a relationship. It's about a relationship, a very special kind of relationship. An intimate, like a father to a child, it's intimate. It is loving. It's to be casual. No barriers. A little child doesn't walk into the presence of her or his father and wonder, how do I say this? You know? A little child just walks in and says it in the best language they can for their particular age and stage of life. God is saying prayer is not about words, it's about a relationship. And when you start right here. Our Father. If you want to be confident in your prayers, start right there. God is not some impersonal force. You know, people say, may the force be with you. He's not an impersonal force. God is not some psychological or philosophical term like you hear say people say the unmoved mover, the ground of all our being, all of these phrases, the omnipotent, omnipresence, unfeeling power, this impersonal force. No, he says when you come to pray, you have to realize that God is your Father. And if you're going to be confident in your prayer life, now listen to this, you've got to use the name that God chose for himself. And God chose the name Father. Now you have a right to choose what you're called by. You were given the name by your parents, but when you grow up, you can shorten that name. You can change that name or whatever you could if you wanted to. You have the right to be called by what you want to be called by. For instance, if your name is Laura, you don't want people to call you Laura or Loretta. That's not your name. Your name is Laurie. God says, I want you to call me Father. Father. And actually, Jesus takes it even further as he goes on to explain this. And I want you to see, he says, I want you to call it God, Abba. A-B-B-A. Abba. That's not a Swedish rock band. That is an Aramaic term that means papa. It means daddy. It is a term of endearment. You've got to realize God is saying, I'm not some CEO sitting up there in the universe unmoved by what you're going through when you pray. I'm your Abba. I'm your daddy. And you can come to me because I'm a loving, gentle, intimate God and you can have a relationship with your Father God, your daddy. You can have a relationship. You come to God and you say, Daddy. Now that's what he says to say. Now I realize that's a problem for some people because father is a negative term for some people. Maybe your dad was distant. Maybe your dad was demanding. Maybe your dad was demoralizing. Maybe your dad was abusive. Maybe your dad was absent in your life. Or maybe you have a lot of bad memories about the term father. And when you say, you know, well, if God's like my father, you think, no thanks. No thanks. God, but listen to me, God, our Heavenly Father, is unlike any other father on earth. Now, there are good fathers on earth. I had a good father. And I hope you had a good dad. But every dad, including me and those of you who are dads, we're flawed. We're imperfect. We make mistakes. But your Heavenly Father is absolutely perfect. He never loves you conditionally. He never loves you one day and not the next day. Your Heavenly Father is never inconsistent. Some of you grew up with dads, and when you saw your dad, you didn't know whether he was going to hug you or slug you. It was that kind of relationship. But God is not like your dad. God is unlike any father on this earth. He is perfect. He always loves you. He knows everything about you. And he always understands you. My dad didn't always understand me. And I know that your dad didn't always understand you. I didn't always understand my kids when they were growing up. But you know what? God knows what you think more than what you can even think. God knows more about you than you even know about yourself. That's why we can call him Father. And what kind of father is he? And this is really important here. If we understand what kind of father he is, then prayer becomes very easy for us. You see, God is a caring father. He will never stop loving you. He doesn't have good days and bad days. He'll always love you unconditionally. God is a caring father. God is a close father. Now, Jesus had a lot to say about prayer. And I want us to look for just a moment at one of a set of verses, just five verses here. From the Sermon on the Mount. And in these five verses, Jesus gives us five reasons that you can always pray with confidence, no matter who you are. Did you hear that? No matter who you are, no matter what your religious background is or isn't, Jesus in this passage gives you five reasons you can stop worrying about prayer. You can stop saying, I don't know how to pray. And he gives you five reasons how you can pray with confidence all the time. This will change your life. It will change your life. It will change the whole way you look at prayer if you'll do it the way Jesus said. Matthew 7, verse 7 and 12. Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount, he says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. This is a promise. And by the way, these verbs, ask, seek, knock, they're actually present participles. Jesus is actually saying here, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Now, if I told you, go over to such and such a house and knock on the door, and when the door opens, they're going to give you $1 million. You wouldn't walk up to that house of that door of that house and go, and then if nobody came, just walk away, would you? No. You'd knock louder. And then you'd knock louder and you'd keep knocking. God is saying, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Don't just knock one time. For look at this word. It says, for anyone who asks will receive. That's a promise. Anyone who seeks will find. And to everyone who knocks, it shall be open. And then Jesus uses this example. It's on your outline there. For example, if your child asks you for some bread to eat, would any of you fathers give her a stone instead? Of course not. The answer is obviously no. Or if your child asks you for some fish, would you put a snake on the plate? And again, the answer is obviously no. He's using this metaphor, this image of prayer, like a father and a child talking together. And then Jesus goes on. Notice what he says now. He says, now, since even you as sinful, imperfect parents, I'm an imperfect parent. I don't always get it right. You're an imperfect parent. And as sinful, imperfect parents, Jesus said, you guys know how to give good gifts to your children. Some of you already have your Christmas list. You're already working on your Christmas list, the list of gifts. And even though I'm often selfish, often self-centered, I'm not perfect, I like to give good gifts to my kids, and so do you. And what is Jesus saying? He's saying, even if you're an imperfect parent, you know how to give good gifts to your children. Then watch this. How much more does your good and perfect Father in heaven give only gifts that are good to those that ask him? See, that's the image of the parent and the child. And then he says, he concludes, look, so in every situation, always do to others what you would want them to do to you. You're familiar with that. It's called the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Most of you don't know that in the context of prayer, but he's talking about prayer here. In every situation, always do to others what you want them to do you, because this sums up all the commandments and all the teachings in the Bible. All the law, all the prophets are summed up in this. Treat other people like you want to be treated. Let me give you five reasons that you don't have to worry about prayer. You can be confident when you pray. Number one is this. Write this down. God promises to answer if I keep asking. He says, keep on asking and you'll be given what you ask for. Keep on looking, seeking, you'll find. Keep on knocking on the door and it will be open. For anyone who asks will receive, and he who seeks finds. And him and everyone who knocks, the door will be open. Asking, seeking, knocking. What are those? It's basically the same thing. It all has to do with asking. Matter of fact, if you take the first letter of each one of those words, ask, seek, knock, what does that spell? Ask. Yeah. See, he's just saying it three different ways here. But what he's saying is proximity to your heavenly Father will make the difference. And write this down. And I'm not going to go into detail with these, but let me give you a little bit of explanation. Write this down. When I'm close to my Father, I just ask. When I'm close to my Father, I just ask. In other words, if I'm a little kid and I'm at home and my dad is sitting in the living room and I have something I need from him, I don't write him a letter. I don't send him an email. I don't call him on the phone. If I'm close to my Father, I just say, hey, Dad, I need, and then I ask. You know, when you're close to God, all you really need to do is ask. It's that simple. Just like a father asks a child, God, I need this. Daddy, Abba, I need this. And when you're close to God, you just ask. But sometimes I'm not close to my Father. Sometimes you're not close to your Father. Sometimes I have something I want to ask my dad, and I'd be looking for him and I'd say, well, let me go see if Dad's in the living room. He wasn't in the living room. And I'd say, well, maybe Dad's in the backyard. And I'd go out to the backyard. He wasn't in the backyard. Then I'd say, well, I wonder if Dad's in the garage. Is Dad in the garage? No, he's not there. Is he at work? Now, if he's at work, I'm going to have to call him. But when I'm distant from God, I have to do a little more than asking. And that brings us to the second thing I want you to write down. When I'm not close to my Father, I must seek. I must seek. I have to seek him. I have to seek the Father when I'm distant from God, when he's not close. And sometimes my dad is behind the wall, and sometimes I have to knock. And that's the third thing I want you to write down. When a call keeps me from seeing my Father, I knock. So in other words, if he's in the room, I just ask. When I don't know where God is or I feel distant from God, I seek him. When there is a barrier between me and God, I knock and knock and knock. And ask as a little kid would ask their dad something. And I looked for him and I found him. And what do you do if you finally find him and the door shut? You knock on the door. Do you just give up? No. You knock on the door and your dad says, "Who is this?" And you tell him. And dad says, "Come on in. There's no problem. There's no hassle. I just knocked. Is it okay for me to come in?" "Yes, come on in. Come on in." What is he saying here? Listen very, very closely now. It doesn't matter, hear me, how close you are to God or how far away you are to God. God still wants you to ask. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, "Well, I'm not worthy to ask God. I'm too far away from God right now." Listen to me. No, you can ask. No, you can seek. No, you can knock. It doesn't matter what the distance is. It doesn't matter whether you're close or you're far away. The very act of asking is going to bring you closer to him. It's not like you got to clean up your life first and get all perfect and then you can start asking God. No, you just ask him, whether you're close to him or not, or if you're just trying to find him, then you seek him. You seek him. It doesn't matter who you are still asking. And that ought to give you confidence. You say, "Well, it sounds like I can ask him for anything." And the answer is, you can ask him for anything. You can. Doesn't mean God's going to give it to you. You know, God has promised to meet our daily needs, not our daily greeds. You can always ask, but there are some obvious qualifications. In other words, sometimes God wants you to understand something. Sometimes God wants you to learn something. Sometimes God says yes, sometimes no. Sometimes God says, "Wait a while." And that brings me to number two. God will never, write this down, God will never give me anything that is unhelpful, unhelpful. Now, this is going to help you build confidence. Because you don't often know what to pray as you should pray. And you say, "I don't know if this thing is good for me or not." Listen, God will never give me anything that is unhelpful. He will not give you everything you want because not everything you want would be helpful. Look at Matthew 7:9. He says, if your child, now remember this is a father-daughter, a father-son relationship. If your child asks you for some bread to eat, would any of you fathers give them a stone instead? Of course not. Of course God would not do that to you. And you wouldn't do it to your child. If your child walked in the room and said, "Mama, I'm hungry," you wouldn't say, "Okay, here's a stone, eat a rock." Of course not. By the way, did you know there's humor in the Bible? There really is. It's okay to laugh at this. This is a Hebrew humor, humor by exaggeration. Jesus had several laugh lines, LOL, if you lived in that day, in the Sermon on the Mount. And this is one of them. He's going, it's ridiculous to think that a mother or a father, if they came and asked you for some food, you'd say, "Well, okay, here, bite this rock." No, a parent wouldn't do that. And if you ask God for something good, he is saying here God is never going to give you something bad. He's never going to give you something bad. If you ask for something worthwhile, I want some bread. He's not going to give you something worthless. He will never give you anything worthless. By the way, the opposite of that is true as well. If you ask God for something good, God will never, never, never give you anything bad for your life. But the opposite is also true. If you ask for something bad, God's not going to give that to you either. Why? Because God is a good, loving, caring Father. He knows what you need better than you know what you need. He understands what makes you tick better than you understand what makes you tick. He knows what it's going to take for you to be fulfilled. He knows what it's going to take for you to have significance in your life. And so when you ask for good, He's not going to give you bad. If you ask for good, He's not going to give you bad, because He is a loving God. He'll never give you anything that is unhelpful. What does that mean? That means I don't have to censor my prayers. You know, a lot of times we feel unconfident. We feel insecure about our praying. We say, I don't know if I should really be praying about this. God says, it doesn't matter what you pray, I'm the one who's going to decide if it's good or not, not you. I will. You don't have to know. You don't have to figure it all out if the prayer is a good one or not. Just ask. You have not because you ask not. And you can ask for anything. You can even ask for bad stuff. It's okay. But if a child might say, hey, Daddy, can I drink this bottle of Clorox? You'd say, no, indeed. No, indeed. Daddy, I'm 4 years old. Can I have the keys to the car? No, you may not. What am I saying? I'm saying God knows what you don't know. So He says when you pray, just don't worry whether your request is a good one or a bad one. You don't have to worry about that. Just ask whatever you want. I'll figure it out. It's on me. It's my burden. And I will never give you anything that is unhelpful. God will sort it out. Trust Him. And you know, that's a great stress reliever when you're going to God in prayer. God will never give you anything that's unhelpful. Let me give you a third thing here. The third reason we can pray with confidence. Number three, God will never give me anything that could harm me. Now, He's taking it a step deeper here. Not just something that's unhelpful, but God says, I will never give you anything that would harm you or hurt you. As I said a moment ago, can I drink this Clorox? Can I drink this poison? No, a parent will say, no, 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 you can't. Matthew 7, verse 10, look at it. He says, if your child asks for some fish, hey, Dad, can I have some fish sticks? Can I get a McDonald's filet of fish sandwich, would you put a snake on their plate? There's humor. There's exaggeration there. No parent, no loving parent would do that. So what's he saying? A snake is a little different than rocks. A rock can be unhelpful, but a snake can be downright dangerous. A snake can be deadly. And sometimes you might ask for something that's actually dangerous to you. Or you might be asking for something that is deadly or incredibly destructive in your life. And God says, it doesn't matter. Just go ahead and ask, because I will never, never, never give you anything that is deadly. I will never, ever give you anything that is unhelpful are destructive. I'll figure it out, God says. I'll sort it out. You don't have to worry. I'm going to take care of that. I'm never going to give you anything that would hurt you. That gives me confidence when I don't know. When I don't know exactly how to pray. Should I pray for this or should I not pray for that? I don't know if this is the right thing to pray for or not. God says, go ahead and ask and I'll figure it out. You don't have to figure it out. You can be confident that I'm God. And if you ask me and trust me, I'll figure it out. Because I'm a good, good father. Now, there's a fourth reason we ought to always pray with confidence. Number four, write this down. God will only give me what's best for me. He says that in the next verse. God will only give me what's best for me. Now, that gives me a lot of confidence when I pray. Look at Matthew 7, verse 11. He says this, since even you as a sinful, imperfect parent know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your good and perfect Father in heaven give only gifts that are good, circle only the gifts that are good, to those who ask him? Now that gives me a lot of confidence when I am praying. Now in the first place, you need to understand that God's not a slot machine. God is not a, you know, prayer is not like you pull the lever. And maybe a better analogy of that would be a vending machine. God's not a vending machine. That's a better illustration. You know, you put your money in vending machines, you pull the lever, and your stuff's going to come out of there. You don't know what it's going to be. It could be something that's had some kind of cancerous material in the candy or the food or something. Something that could harm you. But God is not a vending machine. In fact, you know what I've noticed about vending machines? Vending machines never have the best stuff. Think about that. They don't. God will only give you the best. If you've ever had a donut in a vending machine, it's not nearly as good as any other kind of donut. If you've ever purchased a sandwich in a vending machine, it's not the best sandwich you've ever had, I promise you that. But no, God is not a vending machine. God will only give you what is best for you. And I'm not saying that God is your genie. You know, some people treat prayer like it's Aladdin's lamp, you know. You rub the Aladdin's lamp and a genie comes out and God says, your wish is my command. No, God doesn't serve you. You serve him. Don't ever forget that. Why are we getting so nervous about praying? He's just your father who is in heaven and he's going to take care of you. God is not your servant. He's not your butler. He's not your genie. You are God's servant. You say, well then, why should I even ask? Because he's your father. He's not your vending machine, but he is your father. And he loves you more than you even love yourself. And God says, I am a loving, caring, good, heavenly father. And I'm waiting to answer your prayers. I'm wanting to answer your prayers so badly. I'm telling you, there are so many blessings in heaven that I think are mildewing. They're rusting because we've not asked. You have not because you ask not. So when you pray, do these four things. And then I want to bring you to the fifth and final thing. There's one more reason that when I pray, I can pray with confidence. Number five, God wants me to give to others what I want to get. Write that down. God wants me to give to others what I want to get myself. Now this is the golden rule. Look at it. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. A lot of people know that's a golden rule, but they don't know it's actually connected to prayer. Look at Matthew 7:12. So in every situation, always do to others what you want them to do for you. This sums up all the commands and teachings in the Bible. Now that doesn't sound like it has anything to do with prayer, but it does. Why? Have you ever been asked by somebody, would you pray for me? You ever had anybody ask you that? Would you pray for me? And probably you say, yes, I'd pray for you, but I have no idea what to pray. When someone comes up to me and says, pray for me, and this happens to me all the time. Malcolm, will you pray for me? I don't know what to pray for them unless they tell me. But when you pray for somebody, what do you pray when somebody asks you to pray for them? How do you pray? Here's what you do. Now listen, this will free you up. You pray whatever you'd like to be prayed for you. In other words, that's it. I mean, if you want to have safety, security, success in your life, pray. Yes, pray for safety. Pray for security. If someone comes up to you and says, would you pray for me? My wife left me. You stop and think, what would you want somebody to pray for you if you were in that same exact situation? How would you want them to be praying for you? That's how you pray. And whatever you want God to do for you, God says, I want you to do it for other people. God says, the way I treat you is my loving child. I'm your heavenly Father. And that's the way I want you to treat everybody else. God says, I want you to treat other people the way I treat you. And when you pray for others, what do you pray? You pray what you'd like to have prayed for you. And when you think about it that way, you think, what would I like people to be praying for me in a situation like they're in? You see how simple this is? God wants us to treat others the way He treats us when we pray. Now, why is that important? Because God doesn't want us to be selfish. You know, in the book of Job, and I want to close tonight, I just want to put this verse up here. In the book of Job, most of you know the story of Job. It says, after Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as before. Now you remember the story of Job. He was the wealthiest man in the world. And one day, he literally lost it all. All of his children were killed. His business collapsed. His crops were burned. He lost his home. He lost his health. He got a terrible disease and he was miserable. And at the end of the book of Job, it does not say when Job prayed for himself, God heard him. No, look at it again. When Job prayed for his friends, God said to Job, okay, you're ready now. God is looking for you to be unselfish. And the more selfish we are, the more God is going to say, well, you got a little more growing that you need to do. But when you begin to pray for other people's miracle, when you begin to pray for other people's breakthrough, guess what's going to happen in your life? Your breakthrough, your miracle, because you have been praying for others. Let's bow together for prayer. Maybe you've been nervous about prayer, didn't really understand it. But thank the Lord for a relationship that you can have with Him. You can ask, you can seek, you can knock. And that God's never going to give you anything that's unhelpful or harmful. And whenever you receive, give. What you want for others, give. And pray for others. That removes the selfishness. Even Jesus said, pray for your enemies. The more we pray, the more we seek the face of God, the more things will begin to fall in place. And we'll have that close and intimate relationship that we need with Him. Father, I thank You tonight for this little teaching on prayer. Lord, help us to be confident in our prayers. Help us to never be insecure. May we just trust You. Lord, may we ask in faith and then may we just trust You to settle things. That You're God and we're not. And Lord, we're just going to trust You. And Lord, we're going to pray for others. And Lord, when we learn to be unselfish and pray for others, you're going to bless because we've learned a great lesson. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.